Our scripture reading this morning from the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, the first 13 verses. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him, because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. And now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. And when he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. And then one verse from John 10, verse 10. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And then from John 1, verse 16. "From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." Here ends our scripture reading. Blessed are they who seek God's word and will for their lives. Dear friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, talk of recession in America is currently raising uncertainty about the future. For many Americans, the skyrocketing gas prices, the faltering real estate market, and a nervous stock market bring hardship and fear about the future. But even in times of want and uncertainty, our faith can lift our hearts above the clouds of uncertainty and remind us of our bounteous God, who walks with us and talks with us in times like these. I always enjoy thinking about the story about an elderly man who regularly went to a local saloon, and he always had a special order. He ordered a glass of milk with a large shot of whiskey in it. But one hot summer's day, while the bartender was fixing his drink, the old fellow wandered away from the counter and he went over to speak to some of his friends. And just then another man came in. He walked up to the bartender and he timidly said, "Sir, I'm a poor traveling preacher. I have just made it across the desert and I'm bone dry. I'm so thirsty. Could you let me have that foamy glass of milk I see that you just poured. Take the milk, said the bartender with a twinkle in his eye. We're so glad to have you in our town. So you can take that glass of milk and drink it up. The thirsty preacher drank that milk very slowly, savoring every drop. And finally he looked up towards the ceiling, and with a smile on his face he declared, Lord, what a cow. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 tells about the bounteous goodness of God. While the disciples were picking up the 12 baskets of leftovers, everyone present had reason to say, Lord, what a bounteous God we have. During these weeks, we share some of our bounty with those who are far less privileged than we are, and we do so through the annual worldwide One Great Hour of Sharing collection. Now, our scripture readings tell a story about a Jesus who truly cared about people in need. And if we recall the scene on the mountain so long ago, we can really say, if ever there was one great hour of sharing, that was it. Hungry people received more than they could eat, more than they ever expected. The Gospel according to John begins with a statement reminding us how privileged we really are. John says, from God's fullness we have all received grace upon grace. So by feeding the hungry, Jesus gave a very clear example of God's ultimate grace. But if you read it with some attention, you will soon discover that the focus in the story about the feeding of the multitude might be on bread, but the lesson behind it is all about life, real life. So there was a little ritual beforehand. Jesus asked his disciples, how shall we buy bread for all these people? Because you see, Jesus already knew that though we cannot live by bread alone, we could not live without bread either. And then Andrew said, well, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many? And amazing then, one has to read between the lines in Scripture. Jesus said, make the people sit down. Make the people sit down. You know, in order to experience God's bounty, the people first had to sit down. They had to watch. They had to listen. And now it is known that Mother Teresa once said that the biggest problem facing the world is really not the people dying in the streets of Calcutta that she worked with every day of her life. She then said that the biggest problem is what she called spiritual deprivation. And she described spiritual deprivation as a feeling of emptiness inside, associated with feeling separated from God and from our brothers and sisters on planet Earth. And there are people everywhere. Yes, there are people in church this morning who experience the same kind of emptiness. Something vacant in here. Something not the way it should be. Somehow they feel so very isolated, even when surrounded by people, so very alone. There is the famous experiment of Jean-Henri Fabre, who was a French naturalist, and he made an experiment with processional caterpillars. He encountered some of these interesting creatures one day while he was walking in the woods. And these caterpillars were marching in a long, unbroken line, front to back, front to back. Fabre was curious what would happen if he made a complete ring with these worms and let them march in a circle. So Fabre captured enough caterpillars to encircle the rim of a flower pot. And then he linked the caterpillars nose to posterior and started them walking in a closed circle along the rim of the flower pot. And he just watched. Now for days they kept on walking. They turned like a perpetual merry-go-round. And although food was near at hand and accessible, the caterpillar starved to death on an endless march to nowhere. Makes one think. Because that seems to be the story of far too many people in our world today. They seem to be on a march that leads to nowhere. No honest thinking, no initiative, no care, no understanding, no faith, no stopping for a moment, and definitely no never sitting down in the presence of God. Because you see, in God's presence, we become aware of abundant life that only God can give. And sometimes we are simply blind to God's wondrous bounty. We are marching the circle of the caterpillars. And sometimes we only grab and we hold on to for ourselves. Oh yes, and that is very important to many. Our points of view, they are right and no one else dare disagree. Our prejudices, they are mine and I'm not going to let go of them. Our possessions, they are mine and mine alone. And my personal preferences and needs, they count most. They have to be fulfilled first. That's not the world that we're supposed to live in. One great hour of sharing reminds us that yes, we are. We are rich Christians in an age of hunger. Reminds us that we have received in abundance, and not only that we can, but that we should share. And that means far, far more than just grabbing our pocketbook and opening it. It has something to do to live and to also let live. To reach into the treasure chest of our own lives and to place something of our own wealth, our own love, our service, our care, our possessions, and our privileges into the hands of a hungry, starving, and dying world. You give but little when you only give of your possessions. It is when you give of yourself that you truly give. Give from your heart. Give according to your faith. Give according to what you believe. And only then you will enrich the lives of those around you. And you will discover God's bounty so that your own cup will soon begin to run over. Even after that horrible diagnosis, even in the face of want and need, once our life is filled with the presence of God and God's Spirit, our perspective changes. Our life is renewed, and we begin to truly live. God provides in abundance. God sets before us a table in the midst of our enemies and fills our cup to overflowing. It is our God who, when there is no wine for the wedding feast, tells us to fill the water pots and fill them to the brim. Our God, when the prodigal returns home, kills the fatted calf and then throws a big party. And most of our worries would disappear in a moment if we could only learn to lean back, to literally sit down and rest on the extravagance of God's provisions for us. Do you know that so many people are willfully shutting God out of their lives? They decide that's the way they want it. That's the way they prefer to live. How dumb. How utterly dumb. When you and I shut God out of our lives, we too shut out the very one who can still meet our deepest needs, who assures us, when you go through the darkest valley, I'm walking with you. And when we miss this perspective, this God perspective in our lives, then we begin to miss the goal, the purpose of God's kingdom altogether. We rest on the truth that God is love, that God is giving, God is always giving. And if we are not receiving from God, the problem may just be on our end and not on God's side. For our God is a giving God. And God will never change. Through Jesus Christ, God's kingdom came among us and invited us. Come, walk with me, said Jesus. Wander through the country with me. Talk the kingdom. Preach the kingdom. Live the kingdom. And when the kingdom meets its goal. Our tears will be dried, and our lives will be full, and God's presence will carry us through. As he was dying, Victor Daly, the Australian poet, received tender care in a Catholic hospital. And one of his last conscious acts was to thank the nurses for all their kindness to him. And one of the nurses then responded, she said, "Oh, don't thank us, thank the grace of God." Very perceptively, the poet asked, "But aren't you the grace of God?" God's grace came to me in my life in many different forms. God's grace spoke to me through the eyes of people around me, through their understanding, through their uplifting words, through their love. Are you and I God's grace in the lives of others? In every great deed of sharing of your things or from your deepest innermost self, in every great deed of sharing, you and I become the very grace of God. Let us bow our heads in prayer. O God, cure thy people's warring madness. Bend our pride to your control. Shame our wanton selfish gladness, rich in things and poor in soul. Grant us wisdom. Grant us courage, lest we miss your kingdom's goal. Amen.